at the varying things that seem to contradict in the Word. And as far as the narrative account, I could care less if there's something that is not completely jiving between the accounts of who saw what, when, and how. I really don't. Because I don't think it's important. It's not certainly important for my salvation. If I figure out a way to harmonize all the accounts of the Gospels, right? Very interesting to try to make all those things harmonize. But let's say I figure it out. I totally harmonize the Gospel. What does that profit me in the sight of God? What is God? Is he excited? Oh, thanks, man. I was totally in a bind. And then you came along and you made it all make sense. Hooray! Finally, someone came along who could make sense of my word. You know, if God cared, he would have put it out in such a way that the atheist would look at it, or the unbeliever would say, well, wow, every detail is the same. Boy, it's perfect in every way. I believe, truly, God is in this. He isn't trying to make everyone impressed and believe. He's not trying to impress us with a book. He's not trying to impress us with a historical account that everyone can accept. And I guess that's part of the reason people think like that, is because those are their assumptions. They walk into it, you know, they assume that that's the purpose of God. That God wants everyone to understand. He wants everyone to know he's real. I'm real. I'm real. Look at me. I'm real. See, I made this book for you, and I really want you to see that I exist. Please believe in me. You know, they think that that's how God, if not how he acts, but they think that's sort of the attitude. Like, God really wants us to believe in him. And if we would only believe in him, we could be saved. If God wanted us to believe in him, all of us, you know, and the people who resist it, he could be a lot more forceful about it. Oh, Paul, but you don't understand. God can't force his love on anyone. No. He forced his love on me. He forced his love on the Apostle Paul. Look at the Apostle Paul. Oh, Paul could have rejected him. Yeah, but God was forcing his love on him. So he couldn't really reject it. Because it's too powerful. Too powerful. No man, having that kind of an experience and subsequent support experience, it takes more than just one day of something exciting happen. You know, Paul gets struck down the road to Damascus. But was he just struck down and Jesus appeared to him? It could be a hallucination. No, he was struck blind. And then a certain man would come and heal him. And then this would happen and that would happen. And all these things added to that, and they were support experiences to build him up in the faith. But God certainly forces his love on people. Well, if you force love, it isn't real love. I don't think that's true at all. People say, well, yeah, you have to be able to say no, otherwise it's not real. That's modern wisdom nonsense. The most powerful kind of love is the kind you cannot resist. The kind that comes from deep-seated within the heart. See, people forget that God, they think God is like a man external to us, acting on us. He acts on us internally. He acts on our hearts so that our hearts long for things. That our hearts would love things. So the power of God is a love that is forced. It is a love that is not willingly chosen. How could one choose such a thing? Except that it was given to them to love such a thing. I've been criticized for using the example of food or ice cream or something like that. You know, some people like chocolate, some people like vanilla. Why? Some people don't like certain flavors. Why? Why don't they like that flavor? That flavor seems pretty good to other people. Why, you know, don't they have the saying, there's no accounting for taste? It's not merely a matter of taste, though. But it is the matter of savor. Remember, we are the savor of life to some and the savor of death. Life and death. That's from 2 Corinthians. Paul, very clearly there, and listen to my study, that the savor of death is the odor, the taste, the flavor of death to some. The gospel is. I'm sorry for making that such horrible English. But the gospel is the smell of death to some people. It smells bad. And because they reject it, and it is death unto them. To others, it is the smell of life because they receive it. Are those people more smart than the other people? Are they wiser? What do they have that the other people don't have? And where did they get it? Where did they get that something else that allowed them to believe? You know, there's some people who believe the gospel, some people who don't. Some people would say it is stupidity that causes people to believe the gospel. And they would say, well, Paul, you're kind of intelligent, but you're also kind of stupid. You're right. I am kind of stupid. Let's consider why things are the way they are. And it's because of the choices God makes, because God plants love for things in us so that we hear a message and it appeals to the heart. It's not necessarily an appeal to the intellect. People have tried to appeal to people from the intellect, and some people intellectually are into the Bible. But I see them wrestle with it and stumble. When I see the intellectual approach to the Scriptures, how badly they bungle it, how badly they mess it up. You know, they're confused about the Scriptures, and they want to hand their confusion off to you. Because they're smart, they figure, you can't figure it out. I got to figure it out for you, and I can hardly get it. But this is my best, this is the best I could do. And now you little dummies take my intelligent way of interpreting the Bible, and you go with it. And it's a terrible system, because we rely on the wise. And it says God resists the wise. He resists the proud, but I mean, it says, not many wise are chosen, not many wise in the world, not many smart folks are necessarily picked of God, and we assume, well, you're intelligent, you should become a priest, you're smart, you ought to become a theologian. Not necessarily so. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God has chosen the despised things of this world to confound the things that are given in honor. I tell you, to put your trust in those men is foolishness. Don't do it. It seems like a good idea, but what seems right to man is foolishness in the sight of God. To man it says, well, who should we go to except to the wisest of us? Who should we go to except the smartest of us? The smartest of us should take the book and understand it and then communicate to us a simplified version. But God confounds their wisdom and hides it from their eyes so that they can't learn, so that they can't understand. And therefore, they cannot communicate to you anything useful when it pertains to salvation. Because it is by the Spirit of God these things are revealed. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth.